The scripture reading will begin from Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Luke 22, verses 54 through 62. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, spoke intently at him and said, "This man is also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Truly, this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. But Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." But Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always glad to be before you, always thankful for these opportunities. Very encouraged and thankful for the prayers from my wife. She's just trying to get over some things, and we tend to err more on the cautious side. That's just, I think, my wife and my personality. We try to do the best we can. As the reading goes, we find one of those situations in the Bible that I think all of us have heard growing up. The situation where Peter denies the Lord 3 times. And the question this evening is, when will you deny God? When will you deny God? We look at Peter, an apostle of God, certainly one that has many good marks on his record, but certainly looks like he failed. He made a mistake. And sometimes we either take it really, really hard on Peter, or we go really, really easy on Peter. And as we go through our lives, as we look at ourselves, certainly we sometimes do that to ourselves. We're incredibly hard on ourselves, or we're a little bit too easy on ourselves. But Peter denied the Lord. That's what we're going to look at this evening, Peter's denial of the Lord. But not only that, but things leading up to it and things that came after it. Because certainly Peter's life cannot be summarized in just these few verses. What I'd like to look at is right before Peter denies what actually happened. Of course, we have the Gospels, we have multiple accounts, so I'd like to go to John chapter 18. If you turn over to John chapter 18, before Peter denies, there's a situation that unfolds. I'm going to start reading in chapter 18 of John, verse 4. It says, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him," in John chapter 18, verse 4, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Whom are you seeking?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus said to him, 'I am he.' And Jesus who betrayed him also stood with them. And when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. And he asked them again, 'Whom are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way.' And that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom he gave me, I have lost none.'" Verse 10, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malichus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" See, leading up to the denial, of course, Jesus gets arrested, he gets taken away, and then Peter denies. But leading up to the denial, it's interesting, Peter stands up for Jesus. Now Jesus kind of is not so keen on the way that that Peter stands up by slicing off this man's ear. He says, "Put away your sword, that's not what we're going to be doing here." But he stood up for Jesus in that case. And you know what, when I look in this situation, I know that these individuals coming to arrest Jesus were not necessarily the government. They weren't necessarily the police. But I think that to some degree, these religious elites had some of that authority during that time period. At this time, the religious elite were very mixed with the authority of the time. Of course, we had the Romans and we had the Jews. But you know what? This was kind of like the government coming to come and get Jesus. This is kind of like the officials coming in and coming to arrest Jesus. And what did Peter do? He stood up. Not necessarily the way that Jesus necessarily maybe wanted him to, but he certainly didn't deny Jesus. He didn't say, "I don't know this man. I will not defend this man." He stood up. The question for you this evening is, will you deny Jesus when the government comes? When the government comes, knocks on your door, is that when you'll deny Jesus? Because I think that there's a parallel here when we think about Peter. I know that these are not necessarily the government at the time, but certainly these people had authority. Certainly they arrested Jesus. I think a parallel could be drawn that these people are very similar to government or elites or people in authority. Will you deny God when those people come? Oh, Kyle, that will never happen. Not here in the United States of America, not with the land of the Bill of Rights, not the land of the free. Certainly that will never happen. It's happened almost every place else. The government has come, and the government has asked the people of God basically to deny God, to deny Jesus. It's happened in the past. Let's look at a few examples where the government came. When the government came, the individuals that followed God, they basically asked them, they said, give up your God. Give up serving Him. Don't do the things that He wants you to do. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we find a situation where the government basically turns, to some degree, on the people that are following God. In Daniel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 18. We find some friends of Daniel, maybe you've heard their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Starting in verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 12 of chapter 3. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your God or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, and you all fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship it, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. It looks like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a position in Babylon. Even though Babylon was not a place that worshipped the God of the Bible, they had a position, and they found themselves in a conflicting situation where basically the law of the land was deny your God. Deny your God. Worship this other God. That's what the government said to do. That's what the king said to do. You know what you guys need to do is you need to give up your God and you need to follow our God. When will the government come? And what will your answer be? Is that when you will deny God? When you see people who represent the government in some authority in some way, of course we know there's corruption all around the world, but when people of authority come, when the elites come, when those people come, will you deny God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not. They would not deny their God. They said, this is the God which we serve, and we will not deny our God. Will you deny God when the government comes? Let's just turn a few more chapters in chapter 6 of Daniel. These were friends of Daniel, Jews that appeared to raise up in the hierarchy of Babylon. Daniel also does the same in Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, we find Daniel himself with King Darius. And King Darius is actually a fan of Daniel, and Daniel is actually climbing up through the hierarchy. And the people are getting jealous of Daniel, and they say, look at this guy, he's raising up through. We need to do something to tear him down. They could not find a single charge against Daniel. Daniel obeyed the laws of the land, as we should do based off of Romans chapter 13. We should submit to the authority of the land, unless that authority goes against God. We should submit in every case, submit to our law officials, submit to those people that are over us in places of authority, as long as it does not contradict the law of the land. Well, Daniel has a problem. These people conspire against him because he has not done anything against the law of the land. They know the only way that they can get Daniel is if it's in relation to his God and to the God that he serves. In verse 7, in chapter 6, it says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, and the satraps, and the counselors, and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. They made a law against Daniel's religious practices. They said, no, Daniel, you can't do that. Well, what in particular? Praying. You can't pray to any other god except for in relation to King Darius. And King Darius is actually a fan of Daniel, but the way that the customs basically work is once he signs this type of law, this type of decree, it cannot be taken back. He wanted to take it back, but he couldn't. But what did Daniel do? When the government came, when the government said, you know what, you can't pray anymore, what did Daniel do? He said, I'm going to pray. When we go throughout our life, there are various tests that come into our lives. When the government comes, if the government comes, certainly that's not my hope. Certainly that's not what I hope happens. I certainly pray that our government follows God, stays true to God, to the statutes of God. But what if? What if the government comes? What if they say, you can no longer do the things that Christians do? Will you deny God then when the government comes? See, they came to arrest Jesus. And I'm not saying that Peter handled himself in the correct manner in all respects, but in that case, it looked like Peter stood up to Jesus. He stood up to Jesus. When we look in our lives, if the government comes into our lives, what are we going to do? We understand that we have brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, and they are not quite as blessed as we are in terms of their government. They have governments that say, no, you cannot have a Bible. No, you cannot worship God. No, you cannot do those things. If we were in the situation that they were in, would we deny God? Or would we stay true to God? The first thing when I look at this case of Peter's denial, I look right before his denial. I see when the government comes, Peter stands up for Christ, not necessarily in a perfect manner. And when we think about denying God, it's not necessarily this idea, I think, of a verbal thing. I think it is a verbal thing, but it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than the verbal. It's obeying God in all circumstances. It's obeying God when it's hard. It's obeying God when it counts. It's the idea that denying God is deeper than just the verbal. A good example of this deeper than the verbal is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. See, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it goes deeper than the verbal. Certainly the verbal is important. Certainly the verbal is needed, that we should confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God and be willing to do that all the time, but it goes deeper than that. That not only are you willing to say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you're willing to do the things that He tells you to do. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, there's some interesting terminology there. It says, they profess to know God, but in work they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. It says they profess to know God. They're verbally doing the right thing. They say, we know God. We're friends with God. We love God. We're on God's side. But it says, but in their work, they deny Him. In some versions it says, but in their actions, they deny Him. Have you ever thought that you can deny God, not only verbally, but you can deny God through your actions, through the way that you conduct yourself? I don't know if you've ever saw a situation where there's some spouses and something happens, and usually it's the guy, and he gets a little fiery, and the wife does this. She's almost hiding herself, you know? She's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? My principal told a story the other day at a meeting, and she said that her husband got pulled over, and she said she was just being very rude and to the official. And he was just like, oh, please stop, you know? Can you deny God by your actions? Is that how God feels about us sometimes, because of the way we conduct ourselves? That God is like, what are you doing? Why would you do such a thing? You're denying me through your actions. The way you're conducting yourself is not the way that you should be conducting yourself. It says they profess to know God, but in their works, in their actions, they deny Him. So denying goes deeper than just the verbal. It goes in the way we conduct ourselves. Certainly we can deny God by the way that we conduct ourselves as we go throughout this life. If someone can't look at the way we conduct ourselves and know that somehow we're affiliated with God, I see that's the problem. And certainly that's a challenge. Okay? Certainly we should be doing the verbal things, but people should be able to look at us and they should say, you know what? How's a quality guy? He tries to do good things. He's obedient. He tries to listen to the rules. He tries to do good things. He tries not to cut corners. He always tries to toe that line. Certainly, this idea of denying goes further than just the verbal, but deeper into our actions. You know, Christ is supposed to live in us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. What does Christ see when He looks at you? Does He look at someone who's verbally denying when the government comes? Or is He looking at someone who's denying through their actions when the government comes? Do you deny Jesus when the government comes? Of course, the story doesn't end there with Peter. We continue on in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. In John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, this is where we basically get to the parallel of our reading this evening. The parallel of our reading where Peter actually denies three times. It says in verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and officials who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So we see the first denial. We see the other ones in verses 25 through 26. It says, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. You know, I think what we find here, and maybe I'm just generalizing a little bit too much, but I kind of see Peter in a social situation. He's around people that he doesn't necessarily know, some people that maybe appears that he does know a little bit, but people that he's just communicating with on an everyday basis. Not necessarily that these are people he'd associate with normally, but as we go throughout the lives, we come in contact with all kinds of people, don't we? We see someone outside the store. We see someone inside the store. We see people at a job. We see people everywhere in social situations. And what does Peter do? He denies three times. You deny Jesus in social situations. When you step into your job, is that when you start denying God? When you step into your family gatherings, is that when you start denying God? When you step in with your friends, is that when you start denying God? Well, why would you deny God? Certainly it's not because you're ashamed. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Why should we be ashamed? Don't we believe that Jesus is the way to eternal life? Don't we believe that He's the foundation? Don't we believe that all truth comes from Jesus? And you're ashamed of the one that's going to save you? deny Jesus when it comes to social situations. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, it says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. Are you ashamed of Jesus and his words? Are you not willing to repeat Jesus' words? Well, I don't want to repeat Jesus' words. I might offend somebody. I'm ashamed of those words. I can't believe Jesus said that. And I'm not willing to repeat those words. It says, therefore, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, for the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Whenever we're in these social situations, shouldn't we be like yelling from the hilltops, Jesus? He saved us. He's the one that we can have salvation and eternal life and all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. But yet when we get in those situations, we do very similar to what Peter does. Well, what did Peter say? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about this Jesus that you speak of. I don't know who he is. I don't know Jesus. I'm not affiliated with Jesus. We try to distance ourselves. No, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he teaches. I don't know what he preaches. I don't know what he stands for. I don't know Jesus. Do you deny Jesus when you're with your family, when you're on the job, when you're in any social situation? You know, I think Jesus gives us every reason to not have those type of feelings and to hold back and deny in these situations, but Jesus kind of encouraged us. And certainly when I think about what's said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32-33, it sends a chill down my spine. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32-33, it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." You know, when I get to heaven, I know there's not going to be too many people on my side there, probably, that can help but Jesus. He's the last one I want to distance myself from. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can. So when that day comes, Jesus will say, I know this guy. He has served me. He has worked diligently for me. He has done everything I can. When he was with his family, when he was in these social situations, he would not deny me. When the government came, he would not deny me. He is on my side. What is God going to say about you when you get to heaven? Well, you know what? They were ashamed of me on the earth. They wouldn't mention my name. They wouldn't talk about me. They wouldn't talk about the words that I spoke. They didn't say those things. Of course, the world denies Jesus, but you know, we even think about ourselves as there's so many pressures in this life, and so many people and so many things, and Satan is trying to get us away from Jesus, to not talk about Jesus, to deny Jesus in our lives. And does faith succeed many times? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves with destruction. Because even among you, there's going to be people that are going to deny Jesus, deny the Lord who bought them. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ." See, that's a category I don't want to get shifted into. I don't want to get shifted into the people who deny Christ. I don't want to get shifted into that group. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 22-23, it says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." See, it's this idea that Jesus and God are connected. If you're going to deny God, you might as well deny Jesus. If you're going to deny Jesus, you might as well deny God. But it says these people are anti-Christ. Anti-against. How can you say you're for Christ if you won't even confess Christ? How can you say you're for Christ but you are ashamed of Christ? How can you be for Christ and you cower away every time that there's a situation where we should be standing up. We're not perfect individuals, and certainly when we look at Peter, he gives us encouragement, because Peter didn't live a perfect life. Peter denied Christ, and certainly he bounces back. But how are we with those people that we associate with? As Peter associates with these three individuals, he has an opportunity, 1, 2, 3. And each time he says, I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know who Jesus is. You know, maybe a parallel to us today is, you know, we're a good church. I'm not going to talk to you, boy. I'm not going to tell people we're a good church. You know. Well, what do you know about Jesus and his teachings? Well, I don't know if I should talk about that. You know, that might offend some people. What? Are we saved? Of the one who's saving us, the one who loves us, the one who's guided us, the one that's protecting us? Are we going to deny him? In Luke chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, it says, for what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of his holy angels. It's that same idea that we find in Matthew, the parallel. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. See, the words are connected to Jesus. And you know who Jesus is connected to? God. If you want to throw Jesus' words out, you're throwing out Jesus. If you want to throw Jesus out, you're throwing out God and the words of God. They're all connected. And they all have to be stood up for all the same. See, when it comes to judgment day, I want God on my side. And one of the things I think he emphasizes is you cannot be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Stand up. Don't deny me. Don't deny me in those social settings. So we see Peter, the government comes. And the question is will you deny God when the government comes? When the elite comes, when the people of authority come, will you deny God? When you're in a social setting, when you're at work, when you're with your family, when you're with friends, is that when you'll deny God? When will you deny God? We turn to the third situation. Peter denies God, certainly Jesus dies and he's resurrected from the dead. And we get to Acts chapter 2. And what does Peter do? He bounces back. And what does he do? He preaches the first gospel message. And he continues on throughout his life. And I want to pick up with Peter in Acts chapter 5. He preached the gospel message. He's bounced back. He's proclaiming God and all the things that he's done. He's certainly not denying God anymore. But because he proclaims God, there's some certain situations that are going to make it hard on him. And those things that are going to make it hard on him, which he does endure and he does go through, is that he starts to get threatened with physical persecution. And much of that physical persecution, we know, basically ends up leading to death. But in Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, we find a lot of things that are going on in this chapter. Basically, Peter's already been in prison. Okay, we've got a lot of things that are happening. And it says in verse 29, but Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter is standing up, and this is in spite of physical persecution. He's already been thrown into prison. But I want to pick up a little bit later and say, I mean, he's already been thrown into a lot of these things happening. He's been on trial. He's going through all kinds of stuff for the cause of Christ. Then Gamaliel stands up and starts giving some advice. And basically, these guys will not stop talking. And Gamaliel, he starts giving some advice, and he says, you know what? If it's from God, we can't stop it. You know, if this is actually the message of God, we're not going to be able to stop it. And he says, you know what? If it's fake, it's just going to fizzle out anyway. So he kind of gives them the advice to kind of leave them alone. And I want to pick up in Acts chapter 5, verses 42-42. It says, and this is after Gamaliel says those things, it says they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Peter, after he denies Jesus, he comes back, he bounces back, he preaches the first gospel message, he's not going to deny God, and then he gets thrown in prison. Does he stop? No. He keeps going. In fact, they have a big meeting on him, they have a council, and they say, what are we going to do with these guys, the apostles? They won't stop. And Gamaliel gives them the advice, and you know what they do before they send them out? It says in verse 40, it says they beat them. He beat Peter. Did he deny God? It's just amazing, this bounce back. Because I think it's so hard for us because we're so distant and so fortunate in our country where physical persecution is something that we do not see here. Fortunately. At least not very often. But our brothers and sisters in other countries, it's a different story for many of them. They're hiding in their homes. They're meeting in secret. If they're taught with the Bible, there's certain implications of that. If they talk about God, if they confess God, in a long time in India, if you were baptized, there were certain implications of that with your family and with your social status. Immediately, as soon as you got baptized, all of a sudden your life changed in the life and the effect of the Indian government and the way they perceived you. We're very fortunate. But Peter, after he endures prison, after he endures this physical persecution, what does he do after they say, "Don't talk about Jesus anymore"? Which is basically, what are they saying? Deny Jesus. Don't talk about him anymore. Don't talk about his words. Don't talk about his life. Don't talk about what he did. Don't talk about what he's doing for you. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. And what did they do in verse 42? And daily, in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I think there's some interesting points to consider. And I know I've done some generalizations this evening, but we see the government come, and I would say Peter didn't necessarily handle it the right way, but I wouldn't say he necessarily denied Jesus in that situation. Then we see Peter in a social situation, and he denies Jesus 3 times. Then we see Peter go through all kinds of physical persecution, and does he deny Jesus? No. What I would say is interesting is which situation did Peter deny Jesus? He denied Jesus in the social setting. When the government came, what did Peter do? He stood up and he said, "No, you're not going to take my Savior," and he cut off a guy's ear. Not the right move, but he stood up. When the government came, Peter was there. He said, "I won't deny Jesus." When he got thrown in prison and he was beaten and they said, "Speak of Jesus no more," he didn't deny Jesus. He denied Jesus in the social setting. Now people might say, "Well, that social situation probably it had implications of torture and persecution, those things." And I agree. There probably was in that situation. But I think it's got an interesting parallel to our lives. When do we deny Jesus? Do we deny Jesus when it comes to a social situation? See, the test in our lives is to not deny Jesus. And certainly, it's a challenge. Because the government could come. I'm not saying that at all. The government could come. Are you going to deny Jesus? In social situations, are you going to deny Jesus? When physical persecution comes, are you going to deny Jesus? It's better to think about it now. That way, when the situations come, you are resolved and ready, and you're not caught by surprise. These things happen. Would you deny Jesus? See, I fear that we find ourselves denying Jesus in far easier situations than Peter found himself. Do we have any worries of the government? Or do we find situations in our lives where we deny Jesus? Do we have fear of physical persecution in our country currently? And do we still deny Jesus? Where do we find ourselves denying Jesus? See, I see that our challenges when it comes to denying God, you know, that knock, more likely than not for us, is not the government. But you know what that knock could be? It could be your family. Are you denying God when it comes to your family? Well, if the government came, Kyle, I would not deny God. I would stand strong. I would do what Daniel did and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what if it knocks your family? Will you deny God then? Well, Kyle, he had a social situation that had implications of death and torture, you know. If I was in the same situation as Peter, you know, a situation where, you know, death and torture could be in it, I would stand strong. I would do the right thing. Well, what if you're in a social situation with, you know, at your job, lunch, with your coworkers? Is that when you're going to deny Jesus? Well, when you look at Peter and you say, "Oh, come on, Peter, why did you deny Jesus in that situation?" Well, that's actually a pretty tough situation. I mean, I'll give him that. That was a tough situation. But then we look at ourselves. We're sitting at lunch with our coworkers, and the topic comes up, and all of a sudden, we find every way to weasel around. "Oh, let me get away from this. I don't want to talk about this." Are we denying Jesus? We think about physical persecution. You know, it's not necessarily physical persecution, I think, that we have to worry about in our country at this time. But I think what we worry about is to be ostracized and isolated. Well, I don't want to be, you know, outside the club. You know, I don't want to get kicked out. And I know that I might get kicked out of a social club if I say a little bit about Jesus. See, there's certainly a challenge. The test of not denying Jesus. See, Peter had some challenges. The government came. Peter had to make a decision. Or the authorities or the elites came. He had to make a decision. When he was in social settings, he had to make a decision. It's actually interesting. I don't know. I probably need to look at the Greek on it. But the first person that it says that he denies, it says a little girl. It says a little girl. Will you deny Jesus when we have these social situations, these social gatherings? Yeah, certainly. When we think about this idea of denying, I think it goes deeper than just the verbal. It goes into our actions. Is that we can deny God through our actions, but certainly confessing God is certainly important. And actually, it's a part of the gospel plan of salvation. It's important. It's foundational that you are willing to confess that, that you will not deny Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Certainly not denying God is part of the Christian life. But there are other things that we have to consider. Because, yeah, certainly there's that idea that we cannot deny God. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one's going to come to Him except or through Him. But we think of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 and verse 25. It talks about a different type of denial. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow Me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." You're going to find yourself in all kinds of situations in this life. And the question is, when are you going to deny Jesus? Hopefully the answer is never. But Peter gives us a great example that if we make a mistake and we do deny Jesus, we can always bounce back. That's what Peter did. He bounced back. And certainly we can bounce back in our lives, and we can try to right those wrongs while we still have time, place, and opportunity. There's many people that we can go and catch up with. You know, I wonder sometimes, did Peter ever catch up with those three people that he denied Jesus in front of? Did he ever catch up to those, you know, as we read through Acts? Did he ever catch up with those individuals and say, "I made a horrible mistake. Jesus is my Savior. And here's the story that I need to tell you." Maybe you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need to pray for the church, we ask you please come as we stand, as we sing.